Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It on Tuesdays. We check in with WNYC's planning editor, Kate Hines, to hear what story she's sending the newsroom reporters out in the world to cover. It's a segment called Kate Has a Plan. So, Kate, yesterday's plan, I don't even have to ask what yesterday's plan was.
I have a plan, and I also have a lifeline. I actually brought in the reporter that I sent to cover the Jeffrey Epstein court hearing. Gwen Hogan is here in the house. She's our general assignment reporter.
Hey, Gwen. So, for people who, I think most people have been following this, at least locally.
Right.
There's a 14-page indictment that was unsealed yesterday.
Correct.
And what was alleged in the indictment, Gwen?
Epstein is now charged with two counts, one of conspiracy to traffic minors and sex trafficking of minors charge. The allegations are from 2002 to 2005. Three victims are mentioned, although there's sort of more expansive description that says that dozens of victims could be potentially involved. And it seemed like there was a little bit of asking people to come forward, like they're still collecting information on this case. They have a hotline set up and they have a website set up where you can leave tips.
Yeah, it was sort of a stunning moment when...
Right.
Describe for people what they showed at the press conference. That big
I actually
post-
was not at that
oh,
press
post-
conference. I was
it?
In the arraignment, but yeah,
I haven't seen it. I was listening.
Yeah,
radio.
Giant
no
poster, like a most wanted poster. Like, have you
right.
seen this man?
Exactly.
And
right.
Didn't you say, Gwen, that one of the U.S. attorneys said to you yesterday they had been receiving calls from people?
Yeah,
who,
not to me. That was
during the
court proceeding. Yeah, they talked about how since the arrest, they've already been receiving tips about this, about more potential victims.
So Epstein is, the New York Times describes him as a hedge fund manager. Some people describe him as a financier.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps a billionaire, perhaps a multimillionaire. A little unclear. His assets are kind of up for debate, even within the court proceeding yesterday.
What else happened in the arraignment? It was of interest to you.
Yeah, so there were two different hearings. First, one judge, he was arraigned on certain charges. He pled not guilty to both of those charges that I mentioned earlier. And what was a little odd was that his attorneys weren't ready to ask for bail right away, which seems surprising to me. They had several days to prepare, or since Saturday, since his arrest. So they, like, voluntarily let him stay in detention while they get their work together to sort of present a package to post bail, which they'll present later this week, and he's going to be due back in court on Monday. And then it was passed down to a second judge where they discussed things a little bit further, but then he was taken away. He's in federal detention at least for this week.
So, Kay, as planning editor, how do you see the next two or three beats of the story, how the newsroom should cover it or potentially could cover it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, as Gwen said, we have a lot of questions about the source of his income and how he made his money. He has this gigantic mansion on East 71st Street that's like 21,000 square feet. I mean, it's ginormous.
One of the largest private residences in Manhattan.
And it's not entirely clear if he paid any money to get it or if it was gifted to him by someone else, a man named Leslie Wexner, who used to own The Limited. So that is a huge question for us.
Yeah.
Who are all of his connections? I mean, this is a man that is very well connected among quote-unquote high society and politics. Trump knows him. Bill Clinton knows him. Everybody knows him. And what, you know, are they implicit? Who knew what when? You know, these are things we're going to be looking at. Who were his victims? You know, are there victims in New York that we can talk to and try to understand their stories? You know, those are, I think, the paths right now we're going to be reporting. Gwen, do you have any other questions you wanted to try to unearth in your reporting?
Yeah, I guess just looking at sort of what political ties he had to different politicians in this area through donations. There are just, I think, endless threads here that are...
Are you going to cover it all, or maybe this is Brooke and Bob's territory, the Vanity Fair wing of this?
We talked about that this morning. I was fascinated by that.
What this is a woman named Vicki Ward had written a story about Epstein.
Yeah, in Vanity Fair some time ago, and she was on the radio this morning on NPR Morning Edition saying that she felt like she had the goods to go further and that Graydon Carter, the editor of Vanity Fair, had kind of denuded her story and taken out some of the more explosive parts of it because he didn't want to present an unhappy story. You know, he didn't want controversy. And Graydon Carter has denied that. He said the reporting was not there. I would like to hear that media story and what kind of reporting went into it and why didn't they publish it.
Gwen, you've got a busy week or so ahead. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you so much.
To help us out. All right. So I thought the Queens DA race.
I love this story.
It's still going on.
It will still go on for some time. I mean, the manual recount has begun, which means now that Board of Elections, and Gwen has done this type of reporting too, where you go, you open up the paper ballots. I mean, that starts this week. 91,000 ballots.
Why are we here? Remind people why we're here at a hand counting of ballots.
Because like this time last week, we thought Tiffany Caban was the winner. She had something like 1,000 plus votes on Melinda Katz. And then when the affidavit and paper absentee ballots were opened, it turned out that Melinda Katz was up by 20 votes. That lead shrunk to 16 votes, which is where we are right now. But that margin of error is too narrow, so that triggers a manual recount.
Aside from it just being this narrowest of difference in votes, what else is interesting about this particular pairing of these two women vying for this?
Yeah, this is the battle for the soul of the Queens Democratic Party. When it looked like Tiffany Caban was the winner, people felt like this was the final nail in the coffin on what is known as the Queens machine, the Joe Crowley Queens, that is currently run by Gregory Meeks, who had a very angry press conference this morning, and you'll hear some of that on ATC tonight. But it appears that that is not the case, that Melinda Katz had more support than we thought possible. So it may be that heralding the end of old party Democratic Queens, we're premature in that. They may have tendrils that go deeper than you think.
Wow, you were nodding, Gwen. Why was Gregory Meeks mad?
Because Gregory Meeks is sort of viewed as old guard Democrat. And over the weekend, Sean King, who was a political activist and a writer, basically said he should totally be primaried. I mean, he listed a whole bunch of other people, but he was basically like, Gregory Meeks, I'm coming for you. You have done nothing to support the community. And Gregory Meeks's response more or less was, come at me. So now it's sort of like open warfare among progressives versus old guard Democrats in Queens.
Whoa. Come at me, bro.
Yeah. Kind of. It's like a movie.
Okay. So what's next? Let's go back to Tiffany Caban and Melinda Katz. Still counting?
We're still counting. Is there a
time limit on this?
No, it has to... Everything has to be counted. Okay. There's no timeline. It could take 10 days. It could take 2 weeks. And then, you know, depending on what happens and how close the recount is, there will probably be court dates over what ballots should be revalidated, invalidated. What was the intent of this voter? What was the intent of that voter? So we're a ways away from knowing.
Let's finish up on something positive. There's going to be a ticker tape parade tomorrow.
The first one in 4 years.
Okay, give us the deets on the parade.
9:30 starts.
It's for the soccer team, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Just saying. That goes without saying. U.S. women's soccer team, victorious women. It goes along with what the city likes to call the Canyon of Heroes, but we know it as Broadway from Battery to City Hall. It starts at 9:30. You can line the streets to cheer them on. And then afterwards, it concludes in City Hall at a ticketed event in which apparently tickets, which were free and open to the public, you know, were grabbed up in 2 minutes or something. It was written. I mean that literally 2 minutes. And Mayor de Blasio will present them with the ceremonial key to the city.
Is there actual ticker tape anymore?
There is paper.
Paper.
There is no more ticker tape, but there is paper. And tomorrow morning on Morning Edition, our reporter Jim O'Grady is going to have a little 2-minute history of ticker tape parades in New York. And we'll have live coverage during the Brian Lehrer Show.
That is exciting.
All parade, all the time.
You always have a plan.
I do.
Kate has a plan. Kate, thank you so much for joining us. This has been All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. I'll meet you back here next time.